Good morning, everyone, and happy Sabbath, and greetings to those of you on the webcast. Mr. Mooningham and I, our messages may sound similar, but hopefully everyone will gain something from what we both spoke about. In the mid-1980s, I transferred to a different department of the company that I worked for. In that department, there was a gentleman that was known for making insensitive remarks about different characteristics of individuals and insensitive racial remarks. And of course, those remarks at times were demeaning. They were the type of remarks that made the individual look far greater than the people he was directing the remarks to. And people in that, some of my coworkers who were people of color, were greatly offended by these remarks, and they stated that he was a very prejudiced and racist individual. What I understood where his comments came from, the soul servant, so I did not allow it to bother me. But over the next 20-plus years, we became friends. And he shared his attitude and his method of talking to people. And he was the type of individual that was easy to talk to. He would, no matter whether he was a stranger or not, he would say something to begin the conversation. If you're short, he would call you tiny, or if you're big, he would call you short, or things like that to engender conversation. But after his retirement, he lived approximately 4 years. But during his retirement time, he would always call me, check on me, see how I'm doing, and we would talk about things about sports. Things that are happening in the world, and he and his family. And he was the gentleman that I learned a lot of Espanol, or Spanish words and phrases, and I had to be careful of some of the words because they were words that we as Christians cannot use. But despite his differences and his worldliness, he was a gentleman that you would trust. He wasn't the one that would stab you in the back, especially over the period of time that I knew him. He wasn't one thing today and something else the next day. But despite his differences and his worldliness, I and him found great ability to work together. And Ricardo was a good friend as far as developing a relationship with him, and up to a point. God has put us on this earth to have a relationship with him and with each other, no matter what our racial makeup or how we look or how tall or how short we are. Relationship is defined as the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or the state of being connected. We know that God is invisible to us as human beings. He can become the most reliable, trusted, and loving reality in our lives. King David expressed and described this experience of greatness in Psalms 139, verse 7 through 14. Psalms 139, verse 7 through 14. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, behold, you are there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, verse 10, even there your hand leads me, and your right hand shall hold me. Verse 11, if I say, surely darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Verse 12, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shine as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me with my mother's womb. Verse 14, I will praise you, and for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. David was inspired by God's omnipresence and his all-knowing. Quoting from Matthew Henry's commentary on Psalms 139:7, God is omnipresent. He is all-knowing. And this supposed the infinite and vastness of his being, which follows the ubiquity of his presence. Heaven and earth includes the whole creation. The creation fills them both. He not only knows both and governs both, but he fills both. Now I'll go back to some of what Mr. Moonham commented about the ability of human beings. Scientists know and have studied the working of the human mind and the body, and know that it is a great and a marvelous piece of, a work, great and marvelous work. And for example, driving from here to visit my sister in Miami, I have three choices. I can either go Highway 60, Highway 27, or I-75. Now, any animal could not discern which way where to go, which is the best route to take. So our mind is just as David described here. We as human beings are great and marvelously made. Every part of the creation is under God's intuition and influence. Continuing with the commentary, David here acknowledged this also with the application and sees himself thus open before God. When people are not close to God, they like to think it is, whatever it may be, is God's fault. Not true. People forget about God, but God does not forget about them. He is always available to us if we seek him with all of our heart. In a reference to Deuteronomy 4:29. I'll be referencing material from a study guide from the United Church of God member site titled Building a Closer Relationship with God. The first point I have is draw near to God and he will draw near to you. In the book of Psalms, chapter 73 and verse 28, it states that it is good for me to draw near to God. And hopefully, we are learning how good it is for us. A relationship with God begins by God calling us. And the scripture that we are familiar with, John 6:44, which states that no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. In a sermon given by Mr. Mark Mickelson a few weeks ago, titled God the Father, he states that God the Father and Jesus Christ are involved in our lives daily. They are working through the spirit that they have, working through us as we yield to him. And then he stated that our society around us puts emphasis on Jesus Christ and not on God the Father, who works through Jesus Christ. One of the scriptures he references is John 17, verse 20 to 25. John 17, verse 20 to 25. A message that we can identify with. And usually this scripture is read during the Passover ceremony. John chapter 17. Remember, we'll read verse 20 to 25. Verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but as for those who will believe in me through their word. Verse 21. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they may also be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, and that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Verse 25. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. After God calls us, he expects us to exercise the initiative to seek, in seeking to draw near to him. If we do, we have the very encouraging promise, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The promise of the resurrection to life after death becomes the primary motivator. It is a better hope through which we draw closer to God. The next point is the value of reading and studying the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14 through 17, it gives us some information about God's holy word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 through 17. Verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned. And Paul speaking to Timothy. And be assured of knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Greek word here means to bring to an end, to make complete. The idea is, I'm quoting from Barnes' notes on the Bible. The idea is that whatever good work the man of God desires to perform, or however perfect he aims to be, he will find no deficiency in the scriptures, but will find there the most ample instruction he needs for his daily life. Continuing on with the Barnes notes on the Bible, he can never advance so far as to become forsaken of his God. He can never make such progress as to have gone in advance of the volume of revealed truth and to be thrown upon his own resources in a region which was not thought of by the author of the Bible. There is no new phrase or phase of the human affairs can appear in which it will not direct him. No new plan or benevolence can be started for which he will not find the principles there to guide his everyday life. The continuing on with the Barnes notes, the Bible is more valuable than all the rest of the books in the world combined. It is priceless. It is the Creator's revelation of his creation regarding his plan and how we should live our lives to fulfill our purpose and to obtain by far the best results. The Bible is God's word, God speaking to each of us. We must listen and listen carefully. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 is some more instruction about the importance of God's holy word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. I'll be reading from the God's Word translation. Never stop reciting these teachings. You must think about them night and day so that you will faithfully do everything written in them. Only then will you prosper and succeed. In 1 Timothy, we'll turn back a few chapters, 1 Timothy 4, verse 13 and 15. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13 and 15. Here Paul is giving more instruction to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. Till I come, give attention to reading and to exhorting to the doctrine. Verse 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Meditating on these things is important, and it's important not to rush when we are studying God's word. That take the time to really think about what we are reading, and of course, when we do that, we will get more out of it. Meditate and reflect deeply on the meaning of the scriptures and their application to our lives. Meditating on God's laws helps us to write them into our heart. In Psalms 119, verse 9 through 11, gives us points to help deal with the battles and the various difficulties we face in our lives. Psalms 119, verse 9 through 11 and verse 16. Psalms 119, verse 9. I'll be reading from the Life Application Study Bible. Verse 9. How can a young man stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. This is applicable to all of us, young and old. Verse 10. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 16. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. The next point. Can we talk to God at any time and know that he hears us? In 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, some instruction in our communication with God. 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Life Application Study Bible comments on verse 14 and 15. The emphasis here is on God's will, not our will. When we communicate with God, we don't demand what we want. Rather, we discuss with him what he wants for us. If we align our prayers to his will, he will listen. In John 16 and verse 23, some additional instruction. John 16 and verse 23. Verse 23 of John 16. In that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Sincere prayer is powerful because the Creator of all the universe loves to hear our prayers and loves to answer them. The Bible has many scriptures that exhorts us to pray and many that give pointers on how to pray. God expects us to maintain a daily two-way communication with him, reading his word and talking to him in prayer. And the more we pray, the more natural it will be for us to pray to God. The Bible compares prayers of the saints with sweet-smelling incense because they please God. The following are some quotes about God. Remember this. When people choose to withdraw from the fight from a fire, the fire continues to get warm, but they grow cold. When people choose to withdraw from far from the light continues to be bright in itself, but they are in darkness. This is also the case when people withdraw from God. Another quote. Some stand on tiptoe trying to reach God to talk. You try too hard, friend. Drop to your knees and listen. He'll hear you better that way. Terry Giller Metz. Another quote. Some people talk about finding God as if he could get lost. Author unknown. Peace on the outside comes from knowing God on the inside. Author unknown. Another point is spiritual fasting can help us draw closer to God. The example in the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 and 23. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 and 23. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 and 23. Verse 21. Then I proclaimed the fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. Verse 23. So we fast and entreat our God for this, and he answered our prayers. In Matthew 6, verse 17 and 18, is some additional instruction about fasting, what we should do when we fast. Matthew chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Matthew 6, verse 17 and 18. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Verse 18. so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret, in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Among the spiritual tools for drawing closer to God, fasting is real power. Fasting is valuable when we are faced with big problems and we urgently need God's help. Even when we aren't faced with big problems, we should fast occasionally as a special form of worship and to draw closer to God. When we sincerely fast, God is pleased and will help us grow spiritually. Another point is we need to adhere to the warning to stay away from bad influences. As 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 warns us, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Every day of our lives, we face choices. We often must choose between exposing ourselves to bad influences or surrounding ourselves with good influences. God is very displeased when we choose evil or what will lead towards evil. The mind is like a sponge, and it will soak up whatever you expose it to, whether it's good or evil. And what goes into the mind, it will soak it up to a great extent. If you compare like a computer, and computer output depends on what is the input. Garbage in, garbage out. God knows every thought. We can't hide anything from God. So we shouldn't allow experiences and thoughts in our mind and the busyness of life to interfere with our relationship with God. And that's something that you could be ashamed of when you face God. We cannot serve two masters. And it's just like working on a job. You can't work on two jobs at the same time. You're either going to work on one or the other. With God, you can't serve God and the world also. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 through 10, and some instruction about the love of money. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 and 10. First Timothy 6, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through many sorrows. Many people who have not had training or have the discipline in their lives, not to pick on football players or basketball players, but if they come from an area where there's in poverty, and they are awarded a $30 million contract, they don't have the discipline or the understanding to manage that money in a proper way. And or someone that wins a $200 million lottery, they soon lose it if it's not managed. So what the instruction here is not to love money or the worldliness of money. Money is not evil, but the love of money is a major root of evil. And we can see that all around us in today's world. So yes, materialism and the busyness of life can interfere with our relationship with God. They can choke to death our spiritual life like weeds choke to death the life of a garden plant. I grew up on a farm, and I can relate to that because decades ago, we plant cotton, we had to go out and chop the, or hold the grass out of it. If we didn't, the grass would choke it out, and it wouldn't grow. When money and things that become overly important to us, they are becoming our gods, which means we are breaking the first of the Ten Commandments by prioritizing these things or money over God. Another point is the influence of Satan and the demons, the danger of being influenced by them. We warn in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9 about the influence of Satan and the demons. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, be steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Satan deceives the whole world, as we read in Revelation 12:9. So even the followers of God, or those of us in God's church, can be deceived by Satan or the demons when we aren't continually on our guard. Satan hates all people, but he especially wants to deceive those who or deceive or destroy those who obey God. We attract Satan and the demons and become vulnerable to them if we are sinning, or if we are dabbling in spiritualism or the occult, or letting down spiritually in some other way. And when one walks in the way of the devil, he or she is alienating himself or herself from God. The next point is, one of the ways that we can stay close to God is the ultimate, the most powerful way that we can stay close to God. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 2 and reread verse 38, a scripture that we are all familiar with. Acts 2 and verse 38. Acts 2 and verse 38. This is a tool that is very powerful for all of us who are baptized and in God's, a part of God's family. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit is a most important gift, a vital gift. We are warned not to quench it in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Life Application Study Bible comments on verse 19 of 1 Thessalonians 5. By warning us not to quench the Spirit, Paul means that we should not ignore or toss aside the gift that the Holy Spirit gives. And in Romans 8, verse 6 through 9, it shows us the importance of being spiritually minded. I think Mr. Mooneyham read that, but I'll read it again. Romans 8, verse 6 through 9. Romans 8, verse 6 through 9. Verse 6 of Romans 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he is not his. How is it possible for a mortal human to have an intimate and ongoing relationship with God? The most important key, as I said, is God's gift of His Spirit to dwell in one's heart and mind. God's Spirit works to transform the nature of a human being to a godly nature and to the mind of Christ. So instead of being inclined to selfishness and sin, we become inclined towards love and godliness. Let's turn to Philippians 2, and we read verse 1 through 5, another scripture that we are familiar with, most of us. Philippians 2, verse 1 through 5. Philippians 2, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Verse 4, let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. God desires a close relationship with everyone. In fact, he wants all people to eventually be his sons and daughters, in reference to 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. In conclusion, we have seen seven ways to have a closer relationship with God. One, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Number two, read and study God's word, the Bible. Number three, talk to God at any time and know that He hears us. Number four, spiritual fasting helps in having a close relationship with God. And number five, stay away from bad influences. And number six, avoid the influence of Satan and his demons. And in number seven, the gift of God's Spirit is a powerful way to maintain a close relationship with God. Have a great Sabbath.